Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, Inside Lacrosse analyst, my old friend, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. May Madness continues with the quarterfinals. This weekend, eight teams all vying to keep their dream alive with a coveted trip to Philadelphia and the Final Four. Huge weekend ahead. So, Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, good to see you. What's going on, man? You're in Boston for some women's games?
I am. So I'm coming to you live from Boston. And at the rental car counter and when I checked into the hotel and when I picked up some food from Panera, I have been treated to the Boston accent. Mac? Oh, hey, Mac. Where are you coming in from? Oh, it's great. Knew I was in Boston. So I have, we're recording this on Thursday. Later today, I have the Boston College Notre Dame women's game in the NCAA quarterfinals, 2:30 ESPNU with Courtney Martinez Connor. I don't know why I'm reading that off, because by the time this drops tomorrow, the game will be over and you already know who won, but really excited. What ESPN has done is the women's quarterfinals get a dedicated day, which is today. And I think this is the second year that the network has done that. And each game gets their own individual time slot. So noon today, Syracuse, James Madison, Notre Dame, Boston College. 5 o'clock is North Carolina, Denver. Primetime, 7:30 is Loyola at Northwestern. So it's great. And it'll be great lacrosse, and I'm excited for it. And it's just a busy, busy, busy time of year.
Let's start reviewing last weekend and start with the game that you did last Sunday. Cornell Michigan game, one of the best games of the weekend, overtime game. That had to be fun to call that one.
It was terrific. A beautiful day in Ithaca, a great crowd. So if you've never been to Schoellkopf Field, one side of the stadium, it's a crescent shaped structure. I'm not sure what the capacity is, but probably the left side. So the broadcast booth is opposite side of the field, away from the benches. When you looked over, you just saw a sea of red to your left and then a smattering of maize and blue on the right. Hardy fans, again, beautiful weather. First time I've worked with a young broadcaster named Kevin Fitzgerald. We had a blast. It was just an awesome game. Awesome game. Back and forth all the way. The teams competed at an incredibly high level. It was high-paced, high-scoring. But we had great defensive plays as well in that game. Got to see Gavin Adler play in person. Unbelievable. Andrew Darby, second week in a row, I got to watch him play. Unbelievable. Michigan was without Ryan Cohen. When you talk about the Wolverines, it's a three-headed monster of Bames, Awada, and Cohen. We were informed about an hour before faceoff that Ryan would not be available due to internal matters, is the way it was characterized. And as a broadcaster, I've been doing this long enough. You allow the folks that are giving you the information, you give them the leash. You will ask questions. They will answer them or they won't answer them. And you respect that. Because after the game, I had a lot of people being like, what's up with Cohen? What's up? What's up? Why didn't you find out? Or why didn't they tell you? With things like HIPAA and other privacy things that are in place, you just don't push the envelope. But you got to give a lot of credit to the Wolverines for being able to go on the road in Ithaca, win the game in overtime. Bryce Clay to Thompson for the game winner, and Ann Arbor native, no less, scoring the game winner. Two homegrown products making the play. So really terrific game. I can't say enough great things about it. And Ithaca, place is legit. The Ithaca Commons, it's cool. It wasn't too crowded. It was not, you know, super pretentious and low-key scenery. I have to say, low-key scenery, if you know what I mean. You don't expect that at Cornell. And the other scenery too. I did drive by some of the gorges, the waterfalls. I didn't have time to really hike or anything like that, but that scene is pretty impressive.
Dixie, do we expect Ryan Cohen to play this weekend?
I can't answer that for you. The way it was left with us is it is in the hands of the administration. How it was left with us.
All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind as we get to the games this week, but let's keep going on last week's games. You know, Army had a huge upset win over Maryland, and Penn State came back to beat Princeton. Hopkins exploded in the second quarter against Bryant. Georgetown hangs on. Just some great games all the way across the board. What some of your general takeaways from the weekend that was?
The resilience of Army going up, 7-2 in the first quarter. Maryland, then you knew they were going to fight back. And they did, but then Army being able to close it out at home against the defending national champions, at the home of the defending national champions on the road, you know, obviously, and they get the job done. Knox Dent was tremendous between the pipes. Army played without Paul Johnson, you know, one of their best, if not their best attackman. And I say that because we've talked about it all year. Army is just a cast of players, a true team, and they came through big. A couple things. One, you know, I have a deep respect for Maryland, but there were a lot of people happy to see the Terrapins lose. And I feel bad for the kids in that regard. They don't deserve that. They didn't bring that on. One person texted me and said, watching the end of that game was watching the end of Star Wars and seeing the Death Star blow up. That was pretty funny. A lot of unfair criticism of their young goaltender, Brian Ruppel. A lot of really nasty things out there being said about him. I don't know if they're Maryland fans saying that or not, but you know, your program mantra is be the best. So I would say just be better along those lines when you're criticizing a young man. But Army, tremendous effort. I know that was a long rambling, kind of answer to your question, but that was, you know, an incredibly compelling game. Georgetown and Yale. I don't recall the final stats, but both goalies were just shelled in that game. And there were a couple where it was just, I'm not a goalie coach, but I learned enough to be dangerous from Larry Quinn, who taught me a lot about not just goalie but just how to evaluate lacrosse, like how to dissect lacrosse. And just the technique of the netminders seemed to be a little weird. But then again, you know, I'm not standing in there getting shelled with, you know, 50, 60 plus shots going at, you know, upwards of 85, 90 miles an hour. But, you know, Georgetown was able to exercise some of the demons of last year in getting the monkey off their back, you know, after losing that first round game to Delaware. Speaking of the Blue Hens, they gave Duke everything they could handle in a terrific game down in Durham. I was able to catch the second half of that game. Shout out Ithaca Ale House. I was there both Saturday and Sunday night catching the games. And there were a lot of Cornell fans that came to the game, and they were angry that Delaware had to play Duke. And they were angry that Delaware had to play in that play-in game. And I explained it to folks, and we had a great conversation. I'm like, look, the reason Delaware got in that game was because them and Marist had the lowest RPIs of the teams that were in the field that were not seeded. And their loss to Towson in the regular season just kind of crushed their RPI. But I could see it. And Delaware, you know, it was like a double-edged sword. You're like, wow, Duke, number one seed, they get Delaware? You know, and then Delaware, champions of the CAA, and they have to go to Duke. And they're, I mean, this is a team that's a quarterfinal team at least, you know, if not championship weekend. So great game there. By the way, in the Ithaca Ale House, some Michigan parents came in, and I was having dinner after our game with my crew, Kevin Fitzgerald, my producer, Russ Winham, a couple of the other people that were there from production. They left, and then some Michigan parents came in, and we were sitting at this long table that was just off of the bar, but the bar was so busy, and there was only one waitress or you know, server. And we had to go to the bar to order drinks and order food. So when my gang left, we settled up that tab. I started my new tab, and I left that little area. But I left my phone and I left my drunken drink there. And I go back and sit down after ordering another drink. And I guess the Michigan mom didn't see me sitting there. And she just looks at me with disdain. And she's like, "You're sitting here?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "But you were just sitting over there." I'm like, no, I've been here the whole time." And she was so salty. And then I get to talking to this guy, right? And we just end up chatting, having a really nice conversation. He was a Michigan dad. And then I said, and he kept referencing his son. I said, "Well, who's your son?" He said, "My son's Oliver Meyer." And I'm like, "Oh, you're Rick Meyer." He goes, "Yeah, how you doing?" I'm like, I'm Mark Dixon. And he's like, you're Dixon. Oh my God, I hear your voice. You know, we listen to the games. We don't get to go to all the games. We live in California. So I ended up having like a 15-minute conversation with Rick Meyer. And I told him, especially after the stink eye that I got from the Michigan mom, who was not his wife, by the way, I was like, you know what? I really appreciate the fact that a person of your stature is so down to earth. I didn't know who you were. I was just enjoying a good conversation with a good guy. And it was Rick Meyer, you know, former NFL quarterback, Notre Dame star. I mean, just a good dude. Then I texted the folks at Michigan. I'm like, God, I just met Rick Meyer, man. What a great guy. And they're like, hey, if you like wine, you should talk about wine. I'm like, now you tell me. Because I guess Rick, I'm not sure what his involvement is with wine, but apparently it's pretty deep and he's pretty good at it. So that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. Good. It sounds like you had a good time in Ithaca.
And the weather
to
was
the
great.
Weather to the scenery, to the food, to the socializing.
What games did I miss? Virginia, the slip and slide, or the water park that became, you know, Klöckner Stadium became, handled their business against Richmond. Notre Dame, complete domination over Utah. They looked like they're incredibly dialed in. Hopkins, I mean, you know, that's a good Bryant team. And the Blue Jays just, you know, kind of got the bad taste out of their mouth from the semifinal Big Ten tournament loss to Maryland. Princeton, Penn State. How about that game? I know that one was tough on you and your family, but, you know, Princeton just dominated that first half. And then Penn State went to the zone and the Nittany Lions were able to get it done at home. You know, what am I missing? Am I missing anybody?
No, that's all eight of the games. I think you covered them all.
You sure? So we got Georgetown, Virginia, Penn State, Army, Hopkins, Notre Dame. Fourth game, Duke, Michigan. I mean, you're talking. I mean, we're going to date ourselves. I'm going to date myself. Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley versus the Fab Five. Wow. How about that?
I didn't even think about that. It didn't even cross my mind. That's funny.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I didn't
the way
even
you
think
geek
about
out about Duke hoops.
Yeah, I didn't even cross my mind. Okay, Dix, before we get to this week's games, let's do this. Let's the Inside Lacrosse All-America team came out in the middle of this week, and there were two guys who well-deserving, unanimous picks for the first team, and they were Brennan O'Neill, Tackman at Duke, a junior attackman, and Gavin Adler, a senior defenseman from Cornell, who was also the number one pick in the recent PLL draft. Well-deserving accolades for those two young men. Any surprises there or anything you saw on that team that jumped out at you?
It was interesting. The two of the Tuerton finalists were not first-team All-Americans, to the folks that voted in the Inside Lacrosse. What, Connor Schellenberger is a second team, Tucker Dordovic third team?
Correct. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so there's five players who invited to the Tuerton celebration and ceremony that are the finalists. You're right. And two of them weren't on that first team. Who are the five guys?
Schellenberger, Dordovic, CJ Kirst, Kavanaugh, and O'Neill are the five finalists. And people are asking me, you know, who do you think is going to win? And I'm like, well, whoever's team goes farthest in the NCAA tournament. I do think it's a little too close to call right now. I mean, look, Schellenberger, I think it's a little unfair to Schellenberger. One is the expectations. So a month ago, I was doing a game and I was having a conversation with somebody and they were like, oh, Schellenberger, hands down. No, just give it to him. Give him the Tuerton right now. And I'm like, you got to be out of your mind. Like, not only is he not the best player right now, but we still got 6 weeks to go in this thing. So I think that's the expectation of Schellenberger, and their team is winning. He might not have the numbers that he's had in the past. He has pretty darn good numbers, especially in the assist column. But, you know, and then Dordovic, I think, is more a product of the start of the season that Georgetown had and his shooting inefficiency, if you will, but he's on fire. I mean, what, he had six goals against Yale?
Yes. And they won 13 in a row.
Yeah, and Georgetown's a team. We talk about this with Denver a lot. You see them early in the season because they're on television in their non-conference games. But the Big East does not have either, they don't have a television contract, period, or they don't have a great television contract.
It's with Flow TV or somebody.
And and Flow is awful. You got to pay for that.
It's with somebody that it's not a traditional streaming service. Oh, it's not one of the bigger streaming services. It's not on ESPN. It's not on, you know. So it is hard to watch for me as a consumer of media and lacrosse. I don't watch Big East games.
Yeah, me too. And I would like to watch more. But, you know, like Denver during their conference schedule. And Georgetown does not get the TV love that Denver does, predominantly because they don't play ACC teams.
True.
And look, I'm not, yeah. that's not casting stones by any stretch of the imagination, because Georgetown plays a darn good schedule. They did play Notre Dame, but that game was at Cooper Field. Therefore, the Big East has the rights and they put it on Flow Sports. So they go kind of underground for a little bit. And then now's the resurface. You know, the Big East tournament was on CBS. People could watch the Hoyas and they dominated that tournament. And now they got to see him in the first round on ESPN against Yale in the NCAA tournament. So those were, you know, mild surprises. Gavin Adler's tremendous. He's going to win the Schmeiser, best defenseman in the country. O'Neal, at this juncture, I'd have to say he is the front runner for the Tuaraton, but you know, you still have four other guys playing. I got to see CJ Kirst in person this past weekend. He's incredible. I mean, him and Andrew Darby battled all day long, and it was a tremendous battle. And that's a guy, Andrew Darby. You know, I'm guilty of this. We talk about the Big Ten defensemen this season, and rightly so. There's some studs in the Big Ten. Makar Zapatello, first and second team, respectively, for inside lacrosse, All-Americans. Jack Posey, Penn State, was honorable mention. Mazzone, second or third team IL. Scott Smith, HM. Ethan Rawl, Rutgers, long stick midi, first team, right? Or second team?
Second team.
Yeah, so, you know, Andrew Darby just got kind of lost in the shuffle. But that kid's an All-American. You know, I've seen him 3 weeks in a row now take on TJ Malone, Jacob Angeles, and now CJ Kirst. And did a darn good job on all three. Now he's going to have his hands full with the most dynamic force in Division I lacrosse, Brennan O'Neal. And I don't know anything, but I'm just assuming he's going to be taking number 34 for Duke this weekend.
That is a great segue, Dix, into the games this weekend. And let's get to the weekend previews. All four of these games will be on ESPNU. There's two games on Saturday at noon and 2:30, and two games on Sunday at noon and 2:30. On Saturday, May 20th, at the University of Albany, number 7 seeded Georgetown, who's 13-3 now. They've won 13 straight games. We'll take on the number 2 seeded Virginia Cavaliers, who are 12-3 in the first game of the weekend at noon on ESPNU.
Replay or rematch, whatever you want to call it, of a quarterfinal game a couple years ago at Hofstra, where Virginia just destroyed Georgetown. And that was a game before the game. Kevin Warren got hit I think he got hit in the face with a ball. And then their faceoff man went down, you know, opening faceoff, or if it wasn't opening, it was pretty darn close to it early in the game. So that was just a harbinger of things to come. This is a different Georgetown team. It's a different Virginia team, but it should be a terrific game. I mean, this is preseason. This was, you could bill this as a potential national semifinal game. Georgetown stumbled out of the gates. You mentioned 13 wins in a row. They're going to Albany. It'll be a terrific game. Goaltending will be huge in this one. Matt Nunes, excuse me, has picked up. I went to grade school with a guy named Michael Nunez, and he spelled it Nunez. So I always want to say Nunez, even though it's an S. But Matt Nunes has picked up his game lately. Both defenses are going to have to be on point because both offenses are incredibly prolific. This will be a fun one.
Yeah, expect a high-scoring game in this one for sure. And in the second game, as you mentioned, Michigan 10-6 on the season now, will take on the number one seeded Duke Blue Devils, 14-2 at 2:30.
The Wolverines just keep winning, and they're built for late game success. This is just a Michigan team. This is a tremendous story. Didn't win a Big Ten game a year ago. This year, Big Ten tournament champions. Go to Cornell. That game was a pick'em, honestly. And we got what we expected. High scoring, high energy, a lot of fun, lacrosse. This is a different animal that, Michigan is facing. You know, three very dangerous attackmen, very athletic midfielders. And look, I shouldn't even say that because, you know, Cornell had those. They just didn't have the depth that Duke possesses. This will be a great face-off matchup between Wheatfelt and Rowlett against Naso for Duke, who I believe was the first team face-off selection for inside lacrosse in terms of All-Americans. This will be fun. And Albany, I called the America East Championship game there years ago with Chris Cotter. First time Chris and I ever worked together. And it was cool because I had dinner with Chris that night before. And then before we went on air in that game, he goes, "Hey, what's your nickname?" And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, every lacrosse guy has a nickname. Like, you know, I just like to make it a little bit more personable while we're on the air." Great guy. He played at Georgia Tech. Shout out Ramblin' Wreck. So Chris and Paul Kirk, Carcaterra, have these games from Albany. And you think about Albany's track record in the NCAA tournament, the first round game against North Carolina a couple years ago, unbelievable crowd. Other NCAA tournament games that they've had there, great crowds. The fans are going to show up for this one. It's going to be a lot of energy, a really great atmosphere at Albany this weekend.
Moving on to Sunday, May 21st at Navy Marine Corps Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland, in the first game of the day, Black Knights of the Hudson, Army West Point, 13-3 on the season, will take on fifth seeded Penn State, who's 10-4 at noon.
How about Army getting a chance to go to championship weekend on Navy's field? That is not going to sit well with the midshipmen, and that'll provide some motivation for the 2024 season. Congratulations to Joe Alberisi. I've been saying all along that your National Coach of the Year candidates are Jeff Tambroni for Penn State and Peter Milliman at Johns Hopkins. Throw Joe Alberisi in that mix. And this is a matchup. Maybe whoever wins this game gets Coach of the Year. I don't know. One of these guys is going to go to championship weekend. You know, one program after only winning three games a year ago, the other, you know, you lose all your stars, quote unquote, from West Point. So I expect this game, expect it to be low, probably the lowest scoring of this quarterfinal round. I could be wrong. Both teams have tremendous talent on the offensive end and play truly as a team. But I think when you look at both goaltenders, Knox Dent is an All-American goaltender, especially second half of this year. Jack Frassion is a terrific goaltender. Second team for inside lacrosse. Dent was what honorable mention. And Dent was a difference maker in the game last weekend against Maryland. What team will be able to control faceoffs? Coletti versus Mullins, you know, for Army and Penn State, respectively. Great matchup. Terrific defenseman in Posey and A.J. Pilotti. A.J. Pilot, excuse me. That's another one, too, man. You see it spelled that way. I think of Dan Flynn and his leotards doing Pilates. Is that what you wear for Pilates? What is Pilates, by the way?
Not really sure. I think you need a machine to do Pilates.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like jazzercise or...
I think it's like a flexibility workout. I don't know, and I'm embarrassed that that we're talking about it, and I don't actually know what it is.
I think it's better that you don't know what it is.
Huh.
Right? I don't know. Moving on. This will be a terrific game. And Navy, you know, I've been there how many times? I went there for Loyola's quarterfinal Patriot League game against Navy. And then I was there the other night where, you know, hats off Loyola Dons, tough end to the season. And my son Owen graduating, great season from not making the playoffs a year ago to going to the MIA semifinals. And really, that was a game they could have won to go to the championship. So I can tell you from being there the last couple, over the last couple weeks, great place to watch lacrosse. Fun tailgating. You know, it's an open parking lot with a half asphalt, a lot of grass, you know, and definitely a place that the NCAA should explore, maybe for championship weekend. I think the only sticking point is graduation at the United States Naval Academy is always that weekend, and they're not changing that. And I wouldn't, you know, either. It's a special, special time and a special place. But Navy Marine Corps will be on full display this weekend. Quint and Anish Shroff on the call on ESPNU on Sunday.
And Dix, you've been saying a lot this year that how good the Big Ten was and how good the Big Ten is in the 2023 season. And, you know, the top three teams in the preseason poll, Maryland, Rutgers, and Ohio State, it's the other three teams that are in the quarterfinals. And that leads to the last game of the weekend is the number six seeded Johns Hopkins Blue Jays, who are 12-5, will take on the third seeded Notre Dame Fighting Irish, 11-2 in the second game of the day and the fourth game of the weekend. And this will be a great game.
Great point. You know, last year it was the Ivies with six entries into the NCAA tournament and two made championship weekend. You know, these Big Ten teams, you know, I think Penn State Army, probably a pick 'em. Duke, Michigan, you probably have to say Duke is the favorite in that one. And Notre Dame Hopkins, you have to say the Irish probably favorites in this one.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, you're right. You know, the reverse of what we thought the Big Ten was going to be in the preseason versus how it actually turned out. Very interesting. And hats off to the Johns Hopkins Blue Jays, another program, you know, a disastrous 2022 turned into a pretty darn good 2023. I think if you were to say back in February that Johns Hopkins would be in the NCAA quarterfinals, you know, well, you know, Blue Jay Nation can be very unreasonable at times. You know, probably about, let's say 50% of Blue Jay Nation would have said, we'll take it. You know, talk about history in the NCAA quarterfinals, Hopkins and Notre Dame. I still remember 2001 down at the University of Maryland calling that game. And Captain Kirk Howe, the goaltender for Notre Dame, was great that day. And that stamped Notre Dame's ticket to their first ever NCAA semifinal with Notre Dame beating Hopkins that day. And then I know they've played in the quarterfinals since. I just can't remember the years. And they've played in the first round a time or two, I believe. So great history between the Irish and the Blue Jays in the NCAA tournament. This Notre Dame team is, as somebody texted me last week, a wagon. They are good. And their only weakness this year, I talked to Mike Preston from the Baltimore Sun last week about it. He goes, what are the Irish's weaknesses? I'm like, Virginia. That's their weakness. That's right. The only team that they lost to this season. So Hopkins is going to have to contain the Cavanaughs. They're going to have to win matchups. And you know, when I say win matchups, not necessarily get to the cage, but Angelus is going to have to be able to get his hands free to deal the ball. Degnan, Melendez, Peshko, you know, they're going to have to shoot well, which they did last weekend. And faceoffs are going to be critical, getting possession. Notre Dame isn't great facing off. They're good, but they're not great. And Tim Marcille is going to have to stand on his head because, you know, at the other end, trying to score on that Notre Dame defense and Liam Entenmann, first team All-American, according to Inside Lacrosse, is going to be a really tall order. So good way to cap off the weekend. And, you know, I think knowing the mentality of this Blue Jay lacrosse team in 2023, they have no problem being the underdogs. They probably prefer it that way.
Yeah, great slate of games all weekend. I'm really excited for all the action, especially how the Hopkins-Notre Dame game. I think that's a fantastic way to cap the weekend.
Where are you going to watch it from? Are you going to go down?
I was going to go to the game if let's say Army was playing Princeton, I would 100% gotcha. Be there. But I think there's a lot going on this weekend, as there always is this time of year, and I'm pretty sure we're going to be watching it from home.
Yeah, I've gotten the question too. Are you coming to Annapolis? There are some people that I'd love to see that are heading in, but honestly, this will be the first weekend I've had off in months. And I just want to spend it. I just want to spend it with my family, really, you know, and not that they wouldn't go to the games, But, you know, just being able to cut the grass, maybe, you know, go to brunch, you know, do things like that, because then I'll be, you know, heading up to Philadelphia to do the radio for championship weekend. So I think I'm just going to watch from home as well.
All right, Dix, let's get to the give and go. We're going to do our own little bracket thing with the NCAA tournament and the bracket that, you know, that is to the quarterfinals right now. We haven't talked about movies in a long time. So, you know, we cover food a lot, talk about sports, we talk about other things, but let's talk about movies. I'm going to have you do a bracket challenge, and I'll set it up as simply as possible. I have a friend who is really into this. He does this for my group of high school friends, for movies, for rock bands, for songs, for sports, like the best sports teams of decades and things. And he set up one for his company as like a team bonding thing about rating a movie. So he started with, I think people could suggest what movies would go into it. He seeded them 1 through 64, put them in some different quadrants. And we're not going to start from the beginning. We'll start with the Sweet 16, as we were in the NCAA men's lacrosse tournament last week. And we'll try to get to a Final Four. All right. So we'll do two rounds. Now,
how did you come up with the Sweet 16? Is this how the voting has gone in this?
Yes. So we're just going to take what his company of like 30 people have voted on already. And we're going to just accept what those people have picked. So it's a, you know, it's a random, like young people, older people in his company getting to a round of 16. Now, they're all great films, and we've seen all of these, I'm sure. But how the matchups lined up, you have to understand. For instance, our first team is going to be, first movie is going to be in the Sweet 16. It's going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark. And that it beat A League of Their Own in the round of 32, and it beat a movie called Spirited Away in the first round. So Raiders of the Ark was a one seed, and it's made it to the Sweet 16. All right, so I'm just going to give it to you, and then you're going to just tell me what movie you think is better, and we'll move on because we got a lot to cover here. Raiders of the Lost Ark versus The Terminator, the original Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's hard because I really enjoy both films, but if one came on television to watch, like on a lazy Sunday afternoon, Terminator would be
great. All right. And that is a great way to frame
Sarah Connor.
If you're on the couch and it's raining on a Sunday afternoon and then it comes on TV, what do you turn on? All right. Next
I got to give movies. A shout out. Let me give a shout out. Harrison Ford. He's in a show on, I think it's Apple TV, Shrinking. Awesome show. And Harrison Ford plays a character he's tremendous. So do yourself a favor, check out a show called Shrinking. I believe it's on Apple TV.
I'll check that out. And you know what? There's another Raiders of the Lost Ark movie that's coming out. Like, in this,
I can't believe that, because Harrison Ford, this role that he has in Shrinking is perfect for a 70-year-old plus man. Okay. I can't see Indiana Jones getting after it at that age.
I don't know. I think it's the fifth one. It's coming out this month, I think. It'll be Memorial Day weekend, I think it's coming out.
I thought the last one was supposed to be the last one with Shia LaBeouf.
I don't even know if I watched it. And I love those movies. All right, next two movies. Die Hard versus Back to the Future.
Die Hard all day. Die Hard. Mr. McLean. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Moving down to the next regional championship. So this bracket has The Godfather versus The Shining.
Got to go Godfather. Absolute classic is that movie. Godfather 2 was on. I was channel surfing within the last 2 weeks. Godfather 2 came on. And it was the scene where Michael confronted Fredo, and he knew it was, like, you know, about him putting the hit on him in Cuba. The acting in that is just unbelievable. And then the scene in the Senate hearings where Clemenza's brother, they bring in Clemenza's brother just to look at him when he was going to rat the family out. Yeah. Oh, man, it's just an unbelievable film.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. Next one, The Princess Bride versus Forrest Gump.
See, I've never watched Princess Bride from start to finish. It is one of my wife's favorite movies,
And mine too.
and it gets extra credit for having Andre the Giant in the movie. But because I've watched Forrest Gump start to finish and I know that film better, I'll have to go with Forrest Gump.
Okay. All right.
Forrest
Fair
Gump is
enough.
a I remember I that came out right after I graduated college and I saw that movie with my mother. So I always remember that. And Forrest Gump's low key good movie.
Low key, it was great. And so you're picking
Well,
these, though. So your
it's
choice.
soft compared to what I normally like to watch.
Ah, okay.
So like it's low key for me.
Top Gun Maverick, the new one. Top Gun Maverick, the new one, versus Fight Club.
Fight Club, I haven't watched that enough. Like, in other words, I've only seen it like three times, where I need probably to watch it 11 times. I don't like Helena Bonham Carter either. She just rubs me the wrong way. So I'm probably going to have to go Top Gun Maverick. Although that movie, I mean, that was a great movie. Don't get me wrong, but it was so unrealistic. Like the scene where I guess it's Rooster crashes and Maverick, or no, Maverick crashed and Rooster goes after him, and then that big giant. I haven't seen a scene that unrealistic since the Rambo movie, where Sylvester Stallone's able to outrun a, I don't know what kind of chopper that was, but able to outrun a chopper. Come on.
Yeah, and that's obviously this was a pick from some young person, must have suggested this and have led this to this, because I'm not sure how. Even Top Gun Maverick is better than the original Top Gun, but okay, we move on. All right. One of my favorite movies of all time, The Shawshank Redemption versus The Social Network.
So Social Network's actually a really good movie, but I've only seen it like once all the way through and then turned it on. I do really like Andrew Garfield as an actor. Who's the guy that played Zuckerberg? What's that guy's name? Jesse
Jesse
Eisenberg?
Eisenberg. Yeah.
He's annoying. He's annoying, but I guess but every character he plays is like a chafe. And the other one's Michael Cera. Superbad was on the other day, and I caught a little bit of that. What a great movie. And the one thing I'm noticing about this, Brad, there's no comedies that you've mentioned. Like one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie of all time, is Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and that's not in the mix. But
Well, it probably was in the earlier rounds. It just got defeated. There's a contrast in styles of the next two movies significant that's coming up. It's basically a comedy versus, but we'll get to it. So, which one do you pick here, Shawshank or Shawshank or The Social Network?
Shawshank, and I've watched Shawshank, probably half a dozen times. What a great movie! I love that movie. One of my favorite actors. So I have two: Clancy Brown, who plays the head screw, as they call the
Yeah,
prison guard in that
screw.
movie. He's an unbelievable actor. He's been in what? Pet Sematary. He was just in the latest Dexter. The final chapter of Dexter.
He was on the show Billions. I think he was a doctor on some like ER or something like that, or
He's
Grey's
awesome.
Anatomy. Yeah, he's great.
And
The toughest screw ever walked a turn at Shawshank.
yeah, exactly. And then the other character actor that's one of my favorites is David Morse. He was in The Rock, The Negotiator, Tall Guy. When he was younger, he had kind of dirty blonde, curly hair. Older, he had like gray. If you saw him, you'd know who he is. He's awesome. So like Clancy Brown, and I know The Rock or other movies he's been in are not in this countdown or whatever, or this bracket. But those two, like Clancy Brown, reminds me of like guys that aren't necessarily the superstars, but really entertaining, good actors.
And again, just for our listeners, we're accepting how these teams got to the Sweet 16. So we're just accepting them. All right,
Yeah.
next round of matchups. The Big Lebowski versus The Matrix, in a real contrast of styles.
Yeah, you're telling me. Was never a gigantic Matrix fan. And I believe it or not, I've never watched The Big Lebowski. I've never seen it.
Got to pick one.
I do know the references. So I have seen The Matrix. So, oh God. Now, you know what? I'm gonna let you pick for me because I don't like The Matrix. I think it's silly.
I'm picking The Matrix.
You are.
I'm
Have you seen
picking
Big
The Matrix.
Lebowski?
I have.
Okay, I can live with that because I have seen Matrix.
I think the Matrix was like a revolutionary movie for, you know, how it was made and some of the fight scenes and things. It was fun. I've watched the Matrix several times. I've only seen
Yeah,
the
I just
Lebowski a
didn't like
couple.
how the one agent were the same guy. Was it Agent Smith or was that
Yeah,
the guy's
yeah.
name?
Well,
Come on.
yeah. Okay. Last one of the Sweet 16, Goodfellas versus Home Alone.
Man, I loved Home Alone. Both when it first came out and then watching it with my kids, you know, when they were young. That was a lot of fun. But Goodfellas, you can't go against Goodfellas. What a classic, classic movie. And I've enjoyed watching it with my boys as well as they've gotten older.
Yeah.
So Goodfellas is, I mean, good God. They're just legendary. The, you know, oh, for so many reasons. I was just joking with a coworker the other day. We were laughing about getting frustrated with a customer, and we equated it to the scene where Robert De Niro wrapped the phone cord around Maury's head, and was demanding his money, and Maury's wig fell off. So that was just scenes like that are just, oh my God.
And both those movies have star Joe Pesci.
That is true, playing incredibly different roles.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, he's like a bad guy in both of them. He's like a gangster. Well, not a gangster, but you
Yeah.
know, he's a
He's a little bit
thief in
more
both of those.
cold-blooded in one than the other.
All right, Dick. Should we continue with this? I think we've picked six, eight different eight different games. Should we continue, or should we?
Yeah, let's clear. You want to crown a champion? Or do you
Okay,
want to
let's
save
go.
it for next week in
All
the
right, so
final
we have
four?
we'll just start where we were. Goodfellas versus The Matrix. Let's get to the final
Goodfellas.
four. Okay.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas advances. Shawshank Redemption versus Top Gun Maverick.
Shawshank.
Forrest Gump versus The Godfather.
Godfather.
The Terminator versus Die Hard.
Ooh, that's hard. Die Hard, though. Die Hard's yippee-ki-yay.
Okay, we have a final four. We have Die Hard versus The Godfather, and we have Shawshank Redemption versus Goodfellas. Man, that is a star-studded final four. And I think that is a good place for us to stop.
You know, after the Final Four has been selected, we'll associate each film with what team, you know, matches each film's personality.
Okay. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review. Tell a friend and share the love. It's free after all. We'd also like to thank our episode sponsors this season, Simplicity Group, Dr. Larry Parker, MD.com, and Intertext USA. If you want to add your company's name to that distinguished list, send me an email at dbflynn@gmail.com. Big weekend ahead. Please, as always, enjoy the games.